I don't think many people can handle. Even young people, they are subject to it. What is a good title, huh? Confronting life challenges. Confronting life challenges. What other title? Understanding life. That is a better title. Understanding life. Yeah. Finally, it's nature at work. But the title must be something that attracts the lay people, the young people. So understanding life is good. Confronting life challenges also okay. Living life, yeah. Understanding life is to live life. Because we always ask this question, what is life? Have you all ever asked this question? Because when you don't ask this question, it means you don't understand. So what is life? That is the key question. Then the other thing is there a purpose in life? No such thing. No such thing. No, not necessary. It depends. You cannot generalize things in such as, in such a simple manner. It's too simplified to generalize. This one doesn't hold water. Good people die early or die young. I mean, there may be cases of it, but it is very rare, understand or not? Normally, good people with a lot of love and understanding, they tend to live longer. And all those who live over 100, the century, they have a lot of love. Finally, they just tell you one secret. Must have more love, more joy, more happiness to live long. If you don't have love, you don't have good life. Oh, we better start. Okay, Pamasri. And Brother Tim, choose two or three persons. The new one, Danny and this, our sister here. Then one more? Engby, three of you. Come, help to light the candle and incense. So today's topic, maybe we put understanding life. Okay, let us stand. Then we can start the puja offering. Sadhu, 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 sadhu sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. So today is the 23rd of May, 2019, Thursday class. We are having it at Brother Theo and Sister Padmasuri's house. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bansi Si Jiya Moni Po. Namo Bansi Si Jiya Moni Po. Namo Bansi Si Jiya Moni Po. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Mi Lo Po. Namo Mi Lo Po. Namo Mi Lo Po. Namo Pho Bồ Tát. Namo Pho Bồ Tát. Namo Pho Bồ Tát. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana outward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato. Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Pahanatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adina Dana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, we let Christina offer first before we chant the puja offering. She just came in with the thing. Huh? Put it on the altar, then we rejoice. Huh? Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will continue with the puja chanting on the offerings. We will chant the padipa puja offering of light. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Hujayami tamonodang Ganda sambarayutena Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajanamuttamang Vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena maddena cha hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Tayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang Adivase tunobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang Adivase tunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muttamang. Now let us chant our puja aspiration based on our understanding of all the important puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until we become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. We can have half an hour of meditation. Hey, come in front, yeah. Karen and Tammy, come. They are still sit here. Yeah. Make offering. Rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Got cushion. Can sit somewhere in the middle there. Okay, yeah. Off the light, huh? Then we can have our half an hour of silent meditation. Just relax body and mind completely. Don't think of anything. Actually, meditation is very easy when you understand. Just relax. And one of my teachers used to jokingly say, relax and enjoy yourself. If you know how to relax, you will be very peaceful. Relax means no stress, no worry, no anxiety. Just let things be. Whatever arise, let it arise. Then you will come to understand finally. Whatever that arise, finally cease. That is great wisdom. But to realize that, you must completely relax and silent your mind. Relax means no thinking, no thought process, nothing. Just relax and let things be. If the thinking arise, let it arise. Whatever thought, even worry, anxiety, restlessness, let it arise. Yeah, these are mental states. or what the Buddha called mental hindrances. They hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. Because of that, you cannot develop the silent mind. There is no inner awareness, inner peace, and inner calmness. That's why your mind cannot settle down. So knowing that these are mental hindrances that will hinder you from entering the meditative state, what must you do? You must learn how to meditate. You must learn how to develop the opposite spiritual faculty to counter this mental hindrance. So if you have lived your daily life in a proper way, means with heedfulness, with mindfulness, with awareness, then this mental hindrance will cease to be. But if you have been heedless, without any mental spiritual faculty to counter this mental hindrance, you will be very heedless. You will think a lot, and you will arise a lot of wrong thought, which has the mental hindrance, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So if you have this problem, the initial meditation should be to deal with the mental hindrance first. When you want to deal with the mental hindrance, the Buddha's advice is don't find them. They are there because you lack the fine spiritual faculty. So in future, remember to cultivate the spiritual faculty. Then when you come and meditate, your mental hindrance persists. Then you can meditate straight away. Spiritual faculty are easy to develop if you understand the teaching, the Dhamma. You have the first Saddha faith. You have to reflect and contemplate who is the Buddha and how special a being he is. He is the most virtuous and the wisest living being ever born. And he is teacher of men and God. He is not only enlightened, he is fully and complete in his enlightenment. And his teaching is so unique, it can make you enlightened, it can liberate your mind. It can free you from all suffering. It can give rise to that type of wisdom and understanding that will enable you to live life beautifully and understand life completely. That's why it has the power to transform living beings from a heedless way of living life to a beautiful, heedful living based on beautiful understanding of his teaching. Then once you understand who he is and how special his teaching is, you will have very strong faith in him that it will drive you to cultivate. That's how the spiritual faculty of virya, the second one, come to be. Then when it drives you to cultivate, the third spiritual faculty is the deep mindfulness. That's what we are training our mind to have in the form of meditation. So everything we do is to establish the deep. Then we stabilize it so that it can become samadhi, which is the fourth spiritual faculty. Then with the deep and samadhi, you can see things as they are, giving rise to wisdom, the fifth spiritual faculty. That's how this five spiritual faculty can be developed. Then it can help you overcome the opposite five mental hindrance. And they are sensual desire, ill will, sleepiness or lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, due to your fear, worry and anxiety. Then last one is your doubt. When you lack confidence, you have doubt. So all this, you need to understand. Then when you come to meditate, if you have a spiritual faculty, you can straight away go into the meditation. You just relax, silent. Let things be. The mind will settle down, slow down. Then finally, it becomes quiet, tranquil, still. Then there is just awareness inside there. Then this awareness can be aware of whatever that arises. Your breathing, your in and out breath, your heartbeat, your vibration, your feeling, your mental activity, your sankhara. You can also be aware of contact. You can also be aware of how your mind input the content of consciousness, then how through wrong view, wrong thought, it condition you to react and to stir your mind. All this you can see them. Then when you really establish the stability of mindfulness, you can see clearly the dependent origination or tunneling that the Buddha explained under the teaching. You see how dependent on ignorance, you start create mental thinking activity. And this mental thinking is what the mundane mind is all about. So when it starts to think, it create contact with the brain. Thought is respond to memory. So when there is contact, it gives rise to mental consciousness. And because of your memory, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, it input the content. You can see them clearly. Then this content will condition your activity, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, like and dislike, or your emotion that you create through your sense experience. You don't understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. You respond according to habitual tendency, based on your views, opinion, and conditioning, your belief system, and all those things. So this will condition wrong thought, giving rise to the evil root that condition evil activity of action, speech, and thought process. You can see them very clearly, especially within your daily life. But in the form of meditation, you are here just to train your mind to establish mindfulness on whatever that you are good at. Whatever method and technique or skillful means that you have to train your mind to help you to decondition the heedless thinking, use it. What I have taught you is very useful if your mental faculty are still not established. Then you need to decondition the heedless thinking. You can use your mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness or metta. Then finally, after you have sweep your mind from forehead down and reversed, you should be more established in sati or calmness, where you only feel, you don't think anymore. You feel and relax. Feel and relax. If you continue to do that, it will decondition your heedless thinking. Then there is no more thinking. Then you are established in that quietness, peacefulness. You will feel it if you have done it correctly. Then immediately after that, you need to stabilize this. That's why you go to anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just to maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Just to. If the mind wanders off, bring it back. Determined to be aware again. Not long, anapanasati will be established. Then as you develop anapanasati, your mind will become more and more quiet, more and more tranquil. Then you will experience a type of peace, which they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual peacefulness of mind, meditative peace, or sometimes they call a type of rapture. Your mind like become very calm, you feel very good. There is a type of peacefulness or spiritual joy, make you very joyful. Then as you continue to relax and maintain mindfulness, this piti will become more and more refined until you establish that bliss, and you will experience this bliss, which is called sukhang. Sukhang will arise after piti. And when sukhang arises, the mind is very, very blissful. You feel very good. You feel really, really blissful. Then you continue to relax into it. Don't attach, don't cling, don't hold, don't give meaning. Don't even look forward for it to arise again. Then continue to relax into whatever mind state that arises until your whatever meditation object, the breathing, all become very quiet, very still. When this mindfulness has been established until it's very, very stable, your breath all will start to slow down. Initially, it's long breath. You will experience the calmness leading to the blissfulness. Then as you continue to relax, it becomes more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, more and more refined, until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, you will experience pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. When this mundane mind, no more thinking, when the mindfulness all stop, it is just aware, without any movement. Where earlier on, your mindfulness is established based on an object of meditation, where you can be aware of. But when your mind enters sati, it will realize that tranquility or stillness of mind means the breath has already stopped, or very, very subtle breathing. And because your mind has entered sati, it has developed the more refined sati, mindfulness or awareness. It can detect the very subtle breathing. Sometimes no breath also, it can stay there. It can be aware of that state, which is without any movement. That is the meditative mind. That is your silent mind, your true mind. So you need to establish that tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is the meditative mind or pasati. Yeah. Then when pasati is developed, your mind becomes very sensitive. Any slightest movement or activity is magnified. Then your awareness can be with it. And you can just stay aware, quiet within. Then you can move it to your heart. Then you can detect your heartbeat without your stethoscope or any vibration within anywhere. You can detect them. Then you can decide where you want to locate your mind. And wherever you locate your mind is very sensitive, because this mind that is in sati can be aware. Then later on, as you come out of it, it can be aware of all your movement, physical activity and movement. Then it can be aware of everything you see, everything you hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think. That is the real mindfulness. And you have to establish this into your daily life until your daily mindfulness is stable, very established. If you can do that, I rejoice. My nature rejoices, because that is what you need to train. And when you can hit that, you will be able to really meditate. The beginning of true meditation is when your daily mindfulness stabilizes. When you can develop that stability of daily mindfulness or sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment throughout the day, means throughout the day you can be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness. Then you are guaranteed enlightenment, as stated by the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. So with this understanding, I will let you train your mind. Then I will ring the bell. in about 20 minutes time. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And you have to continue these mind states, develop them until they stabilize and move into your daily life. The real meditation is daily mindfulness. The mind passed to in between. Okay, then we turn to page 6. We will chant the invitation or invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Beso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vija Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Tang Deva Manusanam Do Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo สันติติโกอาคาลิโกเอหิบาเซโกโอปานายโกปาชาตังเวดิตาโตเวโนหิติสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติดังจัตตาริปุริสายุคานิอัตตาปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยตักเคเนโยอัญจะลิกะระเนโยอนุตรังปุญญาเขตังโลกาสาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค we can now pay respect to Tripa Jema Vedang Pujemi Dhammang Pujemiสังฆังพุทเธมิโอเค you can be seated and just relax yourself maintain some form of attentiveness then Kong Lun just came do you have a cushion there no there's a cushion behind Chin Hao give it to Kong Lun oh you have okay yeah so like just now before we startI suggest this topic because I just received a WhatsApp message from Sui An. Somebody died again, age 52. And this time it's a main board listed company, Mountain Berhad, the MD, Managing Director. I think Lim something, I forgot the name already. Age 52, passed away.Then that day earlier on, Sui An also told me there's a Thai translator come, Grab driver, I think. I think he followed this Achan Jirasat around, used to fetch them. Also age 52, also passed away. Most of these are due to stress, leading to cancer and all those things. And we also witness many people pass away, our parents, our grandparents. And for me personally, I got a lot of university mates and classmates already pass away. I think more than 15, and they already pass away. Two of them happened to be my undergraduate roommate. One of them passed away at the age of, I think, 50 or 50 plus. When I was in second year, I couldn't find a roommate. So when I came down to MU, I was without a roommate. So I squat withsome classmate because cannot stay in the college. Then I came now actually a few days earlier. Then I asked around, anybody need roommate? So this guy, he short of one roommate. He contacted me. So I say, okay, we become roommate. And he passed away. He smoked a lot. He is full of stress. Penang boy, passed away. I think he passed away about 50 years old. Then there's a classmate in second year, before the final exam. He was sick. Oh, sorry, first year, he was sick. Then he took the exam, he passed the exam. But immediately after he got his result, he passed away in UH. That time, very young, I think age 24. Then another roommate, third year and final year, he is my roommate from Moa. He passed away last year, I think. So as you observe life, if you cannot handle life, you will be afflicted, you will be affected. Both my dear classmates, there is this tendency of stress, fear. Especially the first one, he smoked a lot. And I can see him with cold fear. He worry a lot. That's why he need the smoke, the cigarette, to make him calm. Then my third year one also smoke, but he gave up smoking towards the later part of his life. But he is different because he got stressed. He very easily worry. He got a lot of worry because they don't have Dhamma. So what happened was, due to the way he live life, lifestyle, but he's a very intelligent guy, my third year and fourth year roommate. Romo is very intelligent, smart guy, but cannot handle stress. So he got heart problem. Then he went to bypass. He survived for many years, I think 5 or 6 years. Then finally succumbed. So today, we choose this topic, understanding life. Then you look at the whiteboard, its purpose and meaning. Have you ever ponder or reflect on this question since birth until now? Let's have a show of hands. How many of you have reflected on this? So few. No need to worry about life. You have the Dhamma, you understand life. When I was young, I started asking myself, especially when I was in Form 4, Form 5, I asked myself, who am I? What am I? What am I here for? What is life? Does life have a purpose or meaning? What do you think? Let's start. The mind is with Angvia. Who wants to start? Do you really understand life?
First question.
This is the first question. Do you really understand life? If you don't understand life, then how can you talk about its purpose and meaning? True or not? You have to understand life first, isn't it? So what is life? Don't tell me gong gong jia, gong gong tua, gong gong si. Everything also gong, like Su An Ho say. I got one classmate, a Christian, he told me that. He said, I forget about Buddhism. I say, why? He said, my father came, he gave birth to me, then I now married, I gave birth to my child. He raised me, I raised my child. That's it, is it? That's life. Oh, I say, so simple to your life. What about other things? He cannot understand. So he like to follow tradition. Our forefather do this. So when it come to our time, we also continue the tradition. But for most of us, life is much more than that, isn't it? Yeah? So what is life, according to your understanding? Especially now that you have developed the understanding of the Dhamma. Yeah. Then, after we have understood life, we establish the meaning and purpose, then only we can confront life challenges. I think this is what a lot of people cannot succeed. You agree or not? Yeah? What are the life challenges that people cannot confront? Yeah? What are the main ones? Yeah. Tell me. Get the mic. Sadhu. Yeah, we must have feedback. Then
old age and death.
Yes. So you have to confront old age, sickness, and death. These are the things that people cannot really handle. When they are confronted with especially disease, sickness, and pending death. Or separation of loved one. Separation, one of the most severe ways is through death, parting. Of course, there are other types of separation, divorce and all those things. There's sometimes forced separation between brothers and sisters, parents and children. So sometimes you just, because of certain reason, you get separated. And most of the time it's due to misunderstanding, anger, hatred. Then sometimes, of course, due to financial reason. When young, you have to be given away. Then sometimes you get separated through war, nature's disaster, riots, and all those things. So there are many reasons. Then disease is, I think, so far most traumatic. A lot of people cannot really take it. So these are the many challenges. Then, of course, relationship failure is also one of the major challenges. Then what else? Financial problem. Most of you don't have. So not an issue to you all. Because you have dana parami. You are blessed. Actually, in this world, a lot of people have financial problem. Do you know? A lot of people get scams, swindle. Then they go and borrow money from loan shark. Then yesterday on the news, you all heard about it, that guy kena swindle 3 million. You read about it. It's about what this special privilege clubs or what. And you have to pay money or donation or. Young fellow, 24 years old, until the father came to know. Then only the whole thing exposed. Then they go and see Michael Chong. Then came out press conference and all those things. A lot of people, because of karma from the past, they get themselves into such challenges in life or such difficulties in life. Okay, before we go into this, these challenges are mainly referring to the First Noble Truth, reality. Because the Buddha's teaching is very beautiful. The reason why I want to cover this topic is because this topic can allow you to understand the teaching very well, can relate to true life experiences. So this keyword, understanding life, how do you view it? Do you really think you understand life by now? Try. Put up your hand. Just answer. Do you really understand life? And what is your understanding of life? Nobody have ever asked you that question. Angie, good. Start the ball rolling.
Brother Teo.
Yeah.
I think there's different phases in one's life.
Correct.
And as a kid, you know, the little ones usually is to fulfill their you know, their yeah. immediate basic needs.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So, so that one, that one we are talking about purpose and meaning.
Meaning. Yeah. Yeah.
So then, different people have different purpose in life. Then like your case, different phases of life as you go through, you have different needs. Yeah. But what we want to understand first is the overall understanding of this word life. What is life? Life can be equated to existence, isn't it? So as we exist through life, we live life, isn't it? So do you understand life? If you don't understand life, how are you going to live life? That is a very obvious question, isn't it?
I think, we also have to be responsible, you know, to...
Correct,
to,
but you need to understand life first before all those things about purpose and meaning come in, understand? We need to be responsible in order to live life. But first of all, do you understand what is life? What is really life? As Buddhists, I give you a hint, we are very lucky. We are very fortunate. Because we have a great teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha, the fully enlightened one, Sammasamba. He actually explained to us this very clearly, the meaning of life. Yeah. What is life? All of life. Yeah. If you have read my seminar book, you will have understood this. This is actually very important. So the whole of life, the Buddha summarized them into the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching. That's why this Four Noble Truths, the moment I read about it in the year 1971-72, I straight away inside tell me no need to search, that's it. But to me, nobody in this world can ever define all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane, into just Four Noble Truths. Nobody. That's why I salute the Buddha. I even tell myself, even if I have had his enlightenment, I cannot summarize all of my understanding into just Four Noble Truths. And within the Four Noble Truths, the whole of life is there, the secret of life. The meaning of life. Everything is there. So clearly defined. Both mundane and supramundane. No? Even the supramundane aspect is also there. That's why we are indeed very fortunate as a Buddhist. We have this great teacher who has this great understanding. And he summarized to us all of life. No? Do you think it's easy to summarize all of life? No? It's not easy, is it? Your life covers a wide spectrum of experiences. Yeah. And different people live life differently. And most people without the Dhamma, without the understanding of life, actually deludedly and heedlessly go through life. They suffer a lot. They are afflicted most of the time. And they go through a lot of suffering, misery, mental agony, sorrow and lamentation over the various phases of life. As they encounter life or confront the challenges of life, they suffer a lot. So how do we come to that conclusion? So we have to start based on Four Noble Truths, isn't it? So what is the First Noble Truth? Huh? First Noble Truth talk about what? There is a Noble Truth of suffering, which is correct. So this Noble Truth of suffering is telling you the realities of life and existence. Understand? The key thing is the reality of life and existence. The Buddha said there are eight realities in life. Everything you do within the mundane, it will be covered by this eight. Yeah. That's why it's very powerful. He said these eight realities, if you live long enough, you will have to confront them. And you confront them without wisdom, without this understanding of his teaching, you will be afflicted. You will suffer. You will become miserable. It will cause you a lot of mental agony, mental suffering, all of your sorrow, lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, deep resentment, unhappiness, envy, jealousy, hatred, they come from all this reality. Yeah. So what are they? The first four is very easy to understand. Birth, OA, sickness and death. So just now Tammy already mentioned. The main challenges of life is to confront OA, sickness and death, separation. Then after these four, the fifth one is also very traumatic. Separation from your loved ones, or the thing that you believe you own, or you think you own, your possession, things that you hold on to dearly, your loved one, your property, your wealth, or whatever that you cling on to, hold on to, and think that this is what belongs to you, and you must have them. Especially your wealth, your loved ones, your all the title and everything. So that separation can bring about a lot of suffering, misery, unhappiness. Sometimes people can just commit suicide because of that. Especially when you build up all your wealth, your whatever career, your business, or everything that you have owned. Suddenly, due to one mistake or economic crisis, you lost them all. Or due to war, everything wiped off. Or due to one nature's disaster, everything wiped off. Or a mad guy like Saddam Hussein overnight conquer and take over your whole country and central bank or so. So you lost everything. It's very traumatic. And sometimes people make mistakes. So all this can bring about tremendous suffering. And it can be very traumatic for a lot of people who cannot really believe what happened. Then the sixth one is what? Separation from, when you are with people whom you don't like. Separation we have already deal with. When you are with people whom you don't like. So this one is normally your mother-in-law, your career, your bosses, all those things. Or people who are not easy to be with, understand? Like your nasty neighbor, not so friendly type of neighbor. Then sometimes even your own schoolmate or classmate. Because certain school, they have this bully that they take advantage of their fellow students. They bully them. Then they harass them for money. You call what that one? Extortion. You extort the student money. It can be very traumatic too. Then child abuse, you heard of it. Sometimes your in-laws, father-in-law, mother-in-law, stepmother, step-parent, they can make life difficult for you. So there are a lot of realities that are not easy for living beings to confront, to experience, to go through. That's why they have this phobia from child abuse, from traumatic experiences while they go through life when they are young and all those things. Then sometimes when you receive certain news about close friends, loved ones, suddenly just pass away like that, doesn't make much sense. I remember last time Joy came to our Thursday class, Sui An there, I remember. Suddenly that night she wanted to cry. And she told us her very close friend passed away. A really close friend. Then the son also very close to him. Then later on she brought the son to the class too. So these are the things that will confront living beings. Then the seventh one is when things don't go your way. This is very common. when you cannot get what you want, when your expectation in life are not met, it brings about suffering. Then you may think there are other things that are not covered by this. But the eighth reality, the Buddha, very wise, he covered everything with the eighth one. He said, in short, it's due to our self-delusion, sakkayaditti, that condition us to grasp and cling on to our five aggregates of form and mind, that condition our suffering. So the five aggregates of grasping is suffering. That final summary is very powerful. When you attach to this body, you suffer. This is the first aggregate. Where you worry about you getting sick, getting old and die. You think this is real. This is you. And that is a very powerful sakkayaditti, self-delusion. So it's not easy to confront this. People fear death. Yeah. How many of you don't fear death anymore? Huh? Wow, sadhu, very good. Oh, got people. Oh, don't fear death already. Actually, nothing to worry about that. Who die, what die? You already know that nothing die. But you must really have the ability to understand that. So that when it happens, you will be in the position to understand clearly. Especially you meditate. You can realize your silent mind. Then you will understand what the form of mind is. Yeah? And you will understand clearly that this form of mind is not you. They are all dependent, originating. That's why they are impermanent. You attach, grasp, and cling. One thing's your way, which is not nature's way. You suffer. That's it. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. That's why that is a delusion. And with that understanding, you're free. You know how to live life. Then you know this physical body is a vehicle for you to come, karmically conditioned for us to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to do whatever we want with life, of course, also to experience the karma and all those things. Then the other four aggregate of mind is also not what you think. This mind is mainly the mundane mind. And this mundane mind has the power to feel. You attach to feeling, you will have suffering. Yeah, you will cling. Your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Your mind state, the duality, will cause you suffering. Where you have preference, attachment to good feeling, pleasant feeling, good life. Yeah. The negative one, you don't want. You want to push away. The painful one, you don't want. The one that project your thought and create fear, worry, anxiety, you become miserable over it. You want that to go away. That's how the Dhamma can actually liberate your mind. Without the Dhamma, you can't. So, not only the feeling, the Buddha, everything you come to perceive, the phenomenal world of consciousness. How do you perceive that? Through your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. And do you know what other thing you perceive? Your loved ones, your property, your wealth, your neighbor, your bosses, all those first noble true reality are the things that you perceive. Even your own race, your own country, your own gender, your own school, nation. You attach, you cling. You will suffer. That's why sports also people fight. Over what? Over the identity that you hold on to. So all this attachment come from your perception. Whatever you perceive, you hold on to them, you will suffer. Where your mind, with that self-delusion, will suffer. That every moment of consciousness, if you attach to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, you feel and think, you will suffer. That's why all these four aggregates of mind are very powerful. Feeling, perception, activity of mind states. You attach to good mind state, you suffer. You attach to wrong thought, that creates the evil roots. that condition, your negativity or mind state, you also suffer. You become depressed. Yeah. Then you get into big trouble. So all this explain to you clearly the reality of life and existence. So that aspect of life is so wide a spectrum that it tells you all this reality lead to suffering. You don't understand this teaching. So the second noble truth is what? Cause of suffering. What is the cause? Self-delusion, that condition craving for you to grasp and cling onto the five aggregate. That's why this first two noble truths you must reflect, contemplate until very clear the three turning to arise the initial wisdom. Otherwise, you cannot live life. You cannot deal with life. Then you go and check. You put it into practice. Investigate into it. If I attach to the form, do I suffer? If I attach to all the feeling that arise, do I suffer? If I attach and cling to everything I perceive and believe that is real, is me, do I suffer? If I cling on to all the mind states, do I suffer? The sankhara, the activity of mind, the mental intention, my views, my opinion, my belief system, my conditioning, do I suffer? Everywhere you suffer, as long as you are deluded without this Dhamma. Even consciousness is like a magician. It will make you suffer. Sometimes as you grow older, you look at yourself in the mirror, you start to develop this unhappiness. Yeah. If you don't have the Dhamma, you really, ayo, why am I so old now, so fragile, so useless? What the hell is happening to me? I no longer used to be what I am when I was in my youth. I was so strong, so energetic, so full of life. I was able to do this, do that. Now, everything also cannot. So just like the case of Tuesday with Maurice, the professor. He can dance, he can... What type of dance are they called? Like very graceful one. Ballroom dancing. Suddenly he paralyzed. Then he lost his job, he lost his fame, his professor, all the students that used to respect him and everything. Then he used to have this ability to dance so well and so gracefully. And he was so famous. Suddenly he lost everything overnight because of the injury, spinal cord injury. And he went into depression. That's why finally when he recovered, he wrote that book, Tuesday with Maurice. So a lot of people cannot confront life because they don't have the Dhamma. So you should be very happy, count your blessing that you understand life. So first two noble truths explain to you the mundane aspect of living. Understand? Mundane life. Then the Buddha, under the third noble truth, what did he tell you? He said suffering need not be. You have the understanding of his teaching, you can become enlightened. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana can be realized. And when you realize Nibbana, you know how to live life. You understand life. And you can be free from all of the first and second noble truth reality. Both of this first and second noble truth reality cannot cause you any more suffering or misery. You cannot be deceived by this reality of life and existence, the phenomenal world, the five aggregate of form and mind. Then you understand who you are, what you are very clearly. That's how you break free. Then when you understand that enlightenment in the here and now is possible, suffering need not be, what will happen to you? Yeah? What will happen to you? You will have joy in there. Because I need not suffer. What? Who make me suffer? My own self-delusion. If I can awaken to that, I can liberate my mind. Then I can live life to the fullest, the third phase of Dhamma. Live the life of an enlightened being. Pativeda. So that is so beautiful. So, after that, what is the next step? The fourth noble truth, right? The Buddha didn't only promise you, tell you enlightenment is possible, then never teach you how to do it. There is a fourth noble truth. He said, if you walk this path, cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. Everything is so complete. All of mundane and supra mundane. That's why the moment I understood that teaching, I understood life. I know how to live life. Then I know how to make use of my understanding to live the beautiful life. I can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and I can live life to the fullest. And that is the beauty of the teaching. And that is the beauty of being a Buddhist that has this teaching. But very few people can explain to you that the essence of the Buddha's teaching can summarize to you all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. That's why you must go back and read my seminar book. Then you understand. So when I understand life with such complete understanding, then I can live life, right? Then I can talk about my purpose and the meaning of life. And most important are the three right views that the Buddha taught, the spiritual law. Because the Buddha said our whole of the existential world, our conditioned world, they are governed by a set of law, which he called nature's law. And the first two are scientific, he said, Utu Niyama and Bija Niyama, means the scientific physical law of nature and the scientific biological law of nature. Because the scientists understand these two, they progress very fast in the scientific field and technological field. That's why our civilization progresses. So likewise, when the Buddha understands the three spiritual law that governs all of our life and existence, he became the Sammasambuddha. The first one is Kama Niyama, law of karma. That one is very powerful. That's why his teaching elaborate on that. He said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you know this truth, you know that all of your life depend on karma, what must you do? You have to take care of karma, isn't it? And how to take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha. That's why it comes from this right view. To avoid all evil, purify your mind, then develop wholesomeness. So these are the advice of the Buddha. To take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil, keep the precept. Then you have to cultivate wholesomeness, virtue, blessings, merits. That's why it's about Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to all the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort. Then purify your mind through mindfulness and samadhi. So this is how life can be clearly understood. So I understand the law of karma, I take care of karma. Then I know this form and mind is not me. But then it's connected to my nature. Conditioned from the karmic nature. So this one is subject to karma, you know. That's why it will do its duty. So all this understanding will enable you to live life and develop the beautiful karmic nature. You remember last Tuesday? Karmic nature, spiritual nature. Then when you connect through meditation, you realize your true mind, you can inherit from your spiritual nature. Then you can continue your cultivation of your spiritual nature. That's how you build up the understanding of the two natures that support life. So that every time you come, you are beautiful. You will have deep understanding of life. You will understand your purpose and the meaning. Because we have our vows, understand? Huh? That's why we have a duty. We have the purpose to come. And life is meaningful in the sense that if you understand life, you have all this wisdom, you can live life to the fullest. It's full of meaning. It's not just life is suffering, understand? A lot of people give up on life. Do you know what they say? Life is not easy. Life is a lot of suffering, a lot of misery, a lot of sacrifice. And a lot of people find life so difficult to endure. They say so much problem. Problem like unending. Huh? You agree with what they say? Huh? If they don't take care of karma, surely problem is unending, correct? Huh? If they don't develop wisdom, problem is unending. Suffering is unending. But if you take care of karma, develop the understanding of the Dhamma, there is no such thing as problem, understand? Huh? We already gone through that. What is problem? Huh? When you perceive things negatively, with the wrong view, with the wrong understanding, and then it becomes a problem. But if I can understand and develop the wisdom out of it, then I perceive it with wholesomeness. Then I say it could be a blessing in disguise. Then I don't suffer, understand? Then I turn it around. Then I develop the joy. Luckily, I confronted with this noble truth. First noble truth reality. Otherwise, I won't seek the Dhamma. Otherwise, I won't understand this teaching. Otherwise, I don't have this understanding. Then your whole mind becomes different. Your whole perspective of life becomes different. Then everything is your teacher. You develop gratitude and love towards all these people. Even people who try to harm you, hurt you, cheat you, and do all those funny things to you. Because of you, I learn. Because of you, I can be tested. So it is life itself that we develop all this understanding. That's why I always say life is our greatest teacher. And my teacher Ajahn Yantra also say the same thing. Life is our greatest teacher. We learn from life. We learn from nature. He like nature, is it? Nature has a lot of loving kindness. Nature has great compassion for mankind, for the world. Nature just give and give. Nature never take anything from you. But human being very greedy, take everything, want to own everything. So this aspect, is it clear? This is the most important for us, fellow Buddhists. You understand this, you understand life, then we can move on with this topic. Then this topic becomes very interesting. Okay, now that you understand this aspect of life, means the full scope based on your Dhamma understanding, then can you develop the meaning of life and the purpose of life? Yeah? What is your purpose of life? We don't talk about those people who don't understand. Those people who don't understand, their purpose of life is very different. Their meaning of life also very different. To them, money. So everything is about money. The purpose of life is a lot of money. Qin, Lao Zi, Yu Qian. Then after that, they can do a lot of things. They say, then the Hokkien also got song. Na si wa u ji ba ban, zhe bo ji yu se gai. So these are the mentality. This is different. So people will think of wealth is equate to good life, understand? But then, is life really limited to just money and good life? Sometimes without money, they realize they are happier. Or without so much money, they are a lot happier. Too much money, they get into trouble. That's why they come up with this sentence. Money is the source of all evil. Money is evil. But when you don't understand that money is evil, because it depends on the user of money, understand? And how you get that money. If that guy, the former mind, that accumulate all this wealth or receive all this wealth through illegal means, through evil means, then karmic-wise, the law of karma will hit back and they will get into big trouble. You can see after the change of government, what happened. So a lot of things can manifest. Then whatever you do, there is this nature's law, law of karma. You reap what you sow. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. So these are very easy to understand. So when it talks about purpose and meaning, we are here referring to those with spiritual understanding. Okay? Otherwise, it's too wide a topic. Yeah. Because different people, like just now NG say, different stage, you got different need hierarchy. You heard of the need hierarchy? Maslow need theory. Maslow need theory is very good. It's an economic theory. He said, when you don't even have enough to eat and a shelter over your head, what is the purpose of life? Huh? Food and shelter, isn't it? But after you have food and shelter, your need, your purpose, goes out, isn't it? Changes, isn't it? That's why that need hierarchy is depend on people's circumstances, because that one, they have no choice. Karma condition them into that state. That's why the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because, so you cannot blame anybody. Do you understand? So, when you are born into a poor family, or you have parents that neglect your need, not even the basic need of food and shelter, who you think is to be blamed? It's not your parent. In the past, you also neglect your children. That's why this life you come, you will have this karmic inheritance. You inherit this type of parent who are also irresponsible. They could be gambler, drunk, violent parents who neglect their duty. So all this, when you understand, you will know how to live life. You know how to develop your purpose. Your purpose here is very easy. You come here as a spiritual being. What is your purpose? Yeah? To follow the advice of the Buddha, isn't it? True or not? That one also cannot agree. Then what is your purpose? You come here for what? Huh? Come here to get married and be happier. Then give birth to good children. You only think of the good thing, the positive side. There is a real story, you know, about a dancer and Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein went into a pub, have a drink. So the dancer was dancing, a very pretty dancer. Then he saw Albert Einstein. He went ahead and talked to Albert Einstein. He said, how nice you were to have a child. Albert Einstein looked at her. Why? He said, that child will have my beauty and your intelligence. Logical or not? Logical or not? Then Albert Einstein asked her, what if it's the other way around? My ugly face and your stupidity. Because you only think of the positive side of the sun. Then everybody laughed. Because you only think of the positive, happy side that you want to look at. Especially when you have your child grown up, they get married. So as parents, you're very happy. You look forward to what? Huh? Grandchildren. Even during wedding, they already give you hint already. The yam sing one. First glass is for what? Second glass is for what? Third glass is for what? Grandchildren. And they look forward to full moon day. New moon day. Then to all the grand celebrations and all those things. But they never expect the negative to happen. What happened if the birth has complications? what happens if the child has problem. They never look at that. They only look at the so-called positive aspect. So when you look at life, you have to have the wisdom. It can happen either way. If you have not planted the proper condition, means if you have not planted the wholesome condition behind, when the law of karma arises, when it hit, you will get into trouble. Like Master Xuan Hua, my refuge teacher, he always warned people. He said, he used Mandarin. He said, karma is like that. 种因结果, he said. Means, whatever you plant, the causes, it will give rise to the appropriate fruit. So he said, 种善因结善果, 种恶因结恶果. Then he warned all the refuge people, all the people who are in the hall taking refuge. He said, all of you, you must be careful. Please don't plant the wrong cause and reap the wrong fruit. 千万不要种错因结错果. That one is a beautiful one. So you plant the wrong seed, you will reap the wrong fruit. Understand? The wrong seed is what? Delusion. Ignorance. And the fruit is what? With the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So, you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. That's how you suffer and become afflicted, miserable. So this aspect of the teaching is very, very important, very beautiful. So coming back to the question, purpose now. What is your purpose after having the Dhamma? Do you have a purpose in life? What is your purpose? First, very important one is what? Purpose. First, very important one is what? Right here. Oh, that one is not your purpose. That one is your aim. You want to aim to be free from suffering. Your purpose is to do your duty. Understand or not? Correct or not? When you do your duty in accordance with the law of karma or law of nature, then you will have the good life. That's why the noble ones, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, this is a quality they have, understand or not, of dutiful conduct. So do your duty. Don't be irresponsible. Don't neglect life. Do you know how many duties you have or not? You don't know how many duties you have. You think you are only the spouse. When you are born, as a kid, your duty towards your parent, understand? Then later on, you will have brothers and sisters. You will have grandparents, great-great-grandparents maybe. So you have your duty. Then as you grow up, you will have your duty towards your loved ones. You can get married and your children and all those things. So your duty as a husband, or as a wife, or as parent, your duty towards your employee, your employer, towards nature, towards the environment, all this need Dhamma understanding. If you don't do your duty well, properly, you neglect any of this, karma is you reap what you sow. In future, you will get back the same treatment. You neglect your children. In future, you will have parents that will neglect you. If you do whatever duty properly, like this, now you have sacrificed for your children, their education, their good life. Later on, you will have good parents who will also look after you, give you the good education, sacrifice for you, and do everything for you. Yeah. That's why right duty is right Dhamma. Then, of course, you must. The second purpose is what? Follow the advice of the Buddha. So when you follow the advice, you will have the cultivation. True or not? You will know how to avoid all evil to protect your karmic nature. You will cultivate wholesomeness to build up your karmic nature so that when you come to this existential world, when you are born into the next life or future life, you will have all the support, because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. Then finally is develop the wisdom. Then you don't have to suffer. Then life becomes beautiful. So this is of good conduct, of right conduct, of wise conduct. So all the four conduct are here. Understand? So this one is dutiful conduct. Then this one got three. What are the three? So this one is right conduct. Good conduct. And wise conduct. These are your important purpose in life. If you have these two, you are home. Understand? Huh? Then life becomes meaningful. Understand? Everything falls into place. Then you will live the noble life of an enlightened being, free of all suffering, misery, unhappiness. No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. You are always happy, peaceful. Life is beautiful, meaningful. That's why the Heart Sutta says, when you realize this wisdom, true emptiness is wonderful existence. That is the meaning. Can follow? Yeah? Still need to think, huh? Never mind, go back slowly, reflect, contemplate. Not too late to start on this. This is very important. In the year 1971, I was only, how old? 17 years old. I reflected on this, contemplate. I looked into the stars at night. I go to the open ground. I look up on the star. Then the inquiry came. Who am I? What am I? Such insignificant planet Earth. And one of the 5-6 billion of inhabitants. And the whole of the universe is so vast now. That's why it kept me contemplating and reflecting. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? And that one really drives me. And you know, finally, what is the answer inside there? Huh? Ah, very good. Wow, if you can remember. Inside there, say, you cannot understand all this unless you meditate. Hey, that time I don't even know what is meditation. I got no idea at all. But that nature broke. Why did it broke? Because of the vow. Understand? Because of the past. That's why this one, when it comes, the Bodhi mind inside there is so developed, understand? Anything it understands, the moment I understand science and geography, all this come out already. Oh. Then, immediately after that, somebody gave me the book, Chief Reverend. His first edition of that book, What Buddhist Belief is. It's a thin, I think half or one third the thickness in red color, I remember. Very small book. The moment I received that book, I got it from a classmate's sister. She's a nurse, though. But very funny, of all the classmates, he never gave her, he only gave to me. You know why she gave to me? I always visit my classmate, the brother, where the house is nearby, and nearby there got table tennis, a lot of things to play on. And he saw me every time I go there when people discuss. I will sit one corner and silent myself. I was like that. Then later on when I was in the uni also, for no reason, all those colleagues or even my own housemate, my housemate, there were a lot of these Moa and Batu Pahat Johorin. I'm the only one from Alastair. Then they have this house in SS2, I think, the ladies who study secretarial course and all things, so they rented this house, and they actually wanted to rent out the rest of the room to a third year or final year student who is about to graduate. And they volunteered to cook for us, and very cheap. I think one day, no breakfast, lunch and dinner, I think we only paid about 3-4 ringgit that time. Home cooked. Then got fruits, got drinks and all those things. Then, you know what they call me or not? When people talk among themselves, they say, most of the time I came back late, or I'm the late one, the last two. Then they always keep some food for me also. Then they always call me He Xiong. I also don't know why. Sometimes I go for field trip or what, even BGF, Buddhist Society. I will sit one side, people enjoying the beach, play around, and then I will either blow harmonica or blow the flute, or I just sit silent, contemplate, reflect. But I like to sing the Buddhist hymn, at that time. So very different. That's why when you come different, because you have all this understanding. So meaning and purpose can only be established after you have understood life. Then you can write them down. You can expand on all this. The other thing about understanding life is you must also understand who are you, what are you. That's why the Buddha's teaching is very powerful. The 5 aggregate of form and mind. Is it really you? If it is not you, then who are you? What are you? You know why you must understand this or not? If you don't understand who are you, what are you, then who is living your life? Who is living your life? Your thought is living your life, understand? That's why gong gong chia, gong gong tua, gong gong si. Because the thought is egoic, not enlightened yet, deluded. So how can thought live life? Thought is full of self-delusion, egoic, craving. So that cannot live life. That's why you need to reflect, contemplate. You need to develop the understanding of your true mind, the awareness, to be aware, to develop the clear understanding of life, to see clearly who are you, what are you, and investigate into what the Buddha said. The 5 aggregates of form and mind, they are impermanent. When you attach and cling deludedly, wanting things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer the noble truth. Then because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, say this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So when you have all this understanding, you start to break free from self delusion, sakkaya ditti, then your attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind will start to free. That is the most important. Otherwise, your attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind is so strong, you can never, never relinquish that five aggregate of form and mind. To relinquish is to understand that it's not you, but it's related to you. You understand? It's just like the fifth patriarch, Tou Huineng. This mundane mind, you must know how to use it and yet not be deluded or deceived by it. Straight away, he came to Great Awakening. But this is life, existential Dhamma. You have to understand. It's different from the unconditioned Dhamma. The unconditioned Dhamma is to develop the wisdom for you to free, liberate, not deceive. But the conditioned Dhamma has its reality. Understand? It has its own nature's law. It recognizes relationship. It has its right duty. There is such thing as wholesomeness, evil, good, defilement. That is within the conditioned world. There's a conditioned world got the Four Noble Truth. Birth, old age, sickness and death. All this reality. But in true emptiness, the unconditioned, the Heart Sutta explain very clearly. No old age, no sickness, no death, no birth, nothing. No one die, no one born. And no one to be enlightened. No attainment. No Four Noble Truth. No suffering, no cause of suffering. He also tell you no Nibbana. Then no path that lead to Nibbana. That's why you become confused. The Buddha teach all this, and in the Heart Sutta say all this don't exist. That's why a lot of Theravada cannot accept. Oh, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. What type of teaching is this? Because people cannot understand. But when you understand, it's so beautiful. Because they exist side by side. One is conditioned Dhamma and one is the unconditioned Dhamma. And to understand life, to really have the wisdom to live life, you must understand both sides. Otherwise, you cannot free. And human beings' problem is they understand less than one side. You know what is less than one side? Huh? We talk about the mundane side first. Huh? So, to them, success in life means what? You have all the mundane successes in there. But are you sure you are happy? Let's say you are very successful in your career. Financial freedom you have. Yeah? Academic, maybe you do very well also. Then you have a very good family. Yeah? Then you have all the things that money can buy for you. Beautiful car, beautiful house, can go holiday, can have good food and all those things. But are you really, really free and happy? You cannot, because the first noble truth reality haven't hit. The moment he hit, your money cannot buy hell. Understand? Your money cannot give you happiness. Understand? When you are confronted with dementia and all those things as you age, as you become so fragile and so weak, you become miserable. Understand? Without wisdom, your mind cannot free. That's why a lot of wealthy people suffer. And they worry about getting old, getting sick and die. They do everything they can to just maintain their what they call their mundane physical health. And most of the time, towards the end of life, without the Dhamma, they really suffer, I tell you. They really suffer. It's not easy to go through, to confront old age, sickness and death. That's like confronting life challenges is not easy. So now that we are not too old, You better look into all this and develop your clear understanding. The body can be sick, the mind may not be sick, understand? Do what you can do. It is your tool. It is your vehicle. Use it, that's it. Like the car, beyond economical repair, don't try to cling onto it. Don't say this is my first car, like my first love. 难忘的初恋情人. There's a song on it. Yeah, the first one is always difficult to forget. So if you cling in that manner, very difficult for you to have the wisdom. It will lead to suffering. All this will lead to severe attachment, clinging, grasping. And the mind that holds, cling and grasps will suffer tremendously. Then before you die, you worry. You have fear. What happened after I die? What will happen to my wealth? What will happen to my children? And the worst is, what will happen to my young wife? And all those things. Now they write will. But will also can be contested. That casino king, the Hong Kong one, what is his name? Stanley Ho. He got four wives. All contesting. they say the third one, the fourth one is the smartest. I also don't know. Somebody told me. So there are a lot of what they call life history or reality for you to really learn from. Don't end up like most of them, miserable, suffer. But you can be like Bill Gates or Nobella. They donate a lot back to society. Even Warren Buffett. Now, more and more of these wealthy and rich people, they know how to develop wholesomeness. They have this life purpose. That's why every life they come, they have this parami. Yeah, they donate so much, they will receive equally much. So you continue to have this generosity, dana parami, you will continue to read it. And some of them, they want this type of life, they will it, then they come in this way. And they want to have this understanding. That's why different living beings with different understanding, they come differently. We have all this mainly use willpower. Willpower. When they will it. It's also very powerful. Because it's within the field of thought. And they will it with understanding. They are not deluded in that sense. Because they gain all this wealth through proper means. That's why they will not lose them. And they will continue to have a lot of all this generosity parami. Okay. Anything else you all want to add? This is what I felt is useful for you. Because if you don't go through this topic, you won't understand how to apply the teaching. Applying the teaching is most important. You cultivate, you develop the Dhamma understanding, but you don't know how to apply them or use them to transform your nature, to transform your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, your understanding. Then transform yourself personality-wise, character-wise, and become a beautiful living being, and become a blessing to all. That is most important. Otherwise, like some of them used to say, you cultivate all the Dhamma, then you bring it to your grave. You never apply, never use, and never share. Then, empty you come, empty you go, understand? You wasted everything. If you cultivate and don't practice, means you will not reap. The benefit of that Dhamma. that beautiful teaching that the Buddha has given to the world. If you really have the understanding, you go all out, determine, cultivate this understanding, apply it, and take the vow, plant the beautiful bodhisattva, so that it will nurture beautifully, so that your bodhi mind, life after life, with this calling and understanding, it will surface. Then every time you come, you become very beautiful, you connect very fast. Like that day, Tuesday class, you better go and listen. You can have a karmic nature, sure bring you here. And I said, because most people, before they are enlightened, they have to come. They cannot choose to come. So you have to come. Immediately when you come, you are born of your karma, add to your karma, condition, support, you are what you are before. So karma take control, drive you. Then the spiritual nature, you may have your past and all those things, but no use. You know why? As long as you cannot cultivate and connect, you cannot inherit from your spiritual nature. And you cannot continue to build up that spiritual nature. That's why you must have this vow, this aspiration, this bodhi mind that will propel you, will activate or give you the condition to receive all this teaching, to move you towards this direction, this inquiry and all those things. You must develop the passion for Dhamma. That is the faith, the sadha and the virya, the passion for Dhamma. And my nature love Dhamma, really love Dhamma. And Dhamma is so beautiful to me, where my nature understand Dhamma very, very beautifully. That's why every light it come, it will be very beautiful. And my nature prepare everything for this for my mind. That's why, technically, like I say, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. My nature just prepare everything. Then this for my mind come, accord and flow, that's it. Because this nature inherit from the two, karmic nature and the spiritual nature. And the most important is the spiritual nature, because that vow. The spiritual nature understanding is very powerful. That one through adhitana, vow, that whole thing. You really know how to make the vow and plant the seed of bodhi, then this bodhi maya, it will really come to fruition. And it really move everything. That's why I realized this nature, this form of mind didn't do anything. It just echoed and flow. All the conditions just unfold by itself. And it just arise by itself. Yeah. And even people whom this nature encounter or what, it's through your affinity and your vow. Otherwise, you cannot meet this nature. Or you meet this nature, so you will be talking different thing to him. You won't be talking Dhamma. That's why you have your past. Otherwise, you won't be here sitting, listening to all this. And this kind of wholesomeness, parami, I tell you, even one lesson, the 2-3 hours, one of the classes, you can never expect that extent of that merit, the parami. You know how to make use of it and make aspiration, I tell you, it's very powerful. Well, these are the things that very few living beings can receive this type of teaching and this type of understanding. So, because of causes and conditions, you can become part of that Kayanamitaship. Then you can have the condition to receive all that. And now, with the website already, there's a lot of things. And you should thank Jin Haudi or the whole group. The video, I tell you, it makes the thing so much easier to comprehend and understand. Even you didn't attend, you listen to the video. It's so clear. You know, last Thursday, Brother Ji Wei, you all call Akong, and the wife, Peng, they came to the class. I asked Ji Wei, I say, how come you are here? He said, Virtue, your last Tuesday's talk was very good. He saw the video that Jin Hao make. Oh, I explained the five aggregate of form and mind towards the end. You know? We go through that book, the Buddha and his teaching. Then the author was trying to explain a lot of things, but at the end of the day, we cannot make head or tail of what he's trying to explain. So I said, don't have to follow what he writes. We go through the whole teaching again. Follow the Buddha's teaching. So I re-explain the five aggregate of form and mind. That one was very clear, very beautiful. That's why after they heard that one, they decided to come. Then they asked a lot of questions that night. That's why that night I skipped the invitation to the devas. Those who listen, you realize, I realize not enough time. So I skip, I purposely skip. Some of them thought I forgot to invoke. because not enough time. Very good, huh? Yeah, make a lot of difference, yeah. That's why I agree with what Joyce said. He said the video that Jin Hao make does really make a lot of difference to the understanding. That's why we should thank him, sadhu, 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 sadhu. And he's just learned from the internet. And he trained Christy and I think mainly Christy to help to edit also. And they can edit the thing until you can see my whiteboard writing. I don't know how. Yeah, the Avijja Sutta also very good. Oh, that one very good. Pass the mic, pass the mic. Yeah, the Avijja Sutta. No, never mind. For the recording, it's useful. Yeah, the Avijja Sutta. Yeah.
After reading the Avijja Sutta and all that, you have asked me to have a look at it again.
Yeah, very good. Beautiful. Right.
And that's very funny. After that, I came across, I was at home, because basically I do self-cultivation. So, you cannot be sitting 24 hours.
Yeah, no use.
So, I came across this movie that my daughter asked me to watch. And I'm not sure, I think maybe some of you have watched this show before. It's called Along Came the Gods. It's a Korean series. I tell you, it's very intriguing. Mm. It's very interesting and very intriguing because it actually explained your karmic connection.
Oh, that's very good.
And it also explained to you of your spiritual nature.
Oh, sadhu. Well.
And it is actually a story about what happens to you when you became a paragon.
Oh,
a paragon is actually somebody who died unexpectedly. A good person who died unexpectedly, who becomes a paragon. Of course, this is in a movie. Bit of a fantasy kind of thing. But
yeah, no problem. But the movie is now very different.
Yeah. Catches the essence of the law of karma.
Yeah, law of karma. Yes.
It's very interesting. Actually, this has been in my mind for a bit. I wanted to invite Brother Chiu and whoever is interested, whoever wants to come over one of these Saturdays.
See
we have
movies.
A movie day.
Oh, can. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I think it's very...
Hey,
it's
tomorrow
very
la. Oh, not tomorrow. Tomorrow Friday, Saturday. Saturday, we are free.
Because it has an English version. English.
We go for breakfast first. We go for breakfast first.
Too excited.
You free or not Saturday?
Let me see.
You check and let us know.
Because they have... It's a 4-hour thing.
No problem.
It's one city is 2 hours.
Marathon, then we have our lunch.
But I think why I want to bring this up is because I did benefit from that. From that movie itself.
Some of the movies are really meaningful.
It's just like Ching Hao is doing the video. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is something very visually. You're seeing it visually.
Somehow it's more.
You can grasp the essence of the teaching better. So it's the same with the movie.
Much better, because when I write on the whiteboard, if you listen, you may not get the meaning or the words. But when I write, that words strike you. Understand? Well, most of the time, I realize if there is no transcript or what, even the person doing the transcript, they write the wrong word inside there. Understand? Because when I speak, that word that I use, if you are not familiar, you may not get the right one. Then you may go and correlate it to another word that you think you understand. And sometimes that word can be a different word. That's why with the whiteboard now, you can see clearly. You listen, it becomes very clear. Sometimes those who attend the class, certain area direction you sit, you cannot see what I write. You realize or not? But with the video, he can edit until you can see what I write. So that is the benefit. Thank you. So we look forward to your Saturday. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Sometimes this type of show is very impactful and very meaningful. Yes. Yes. Use your mic. Use your mic.
On your daily life.
Yes,
too,
that is the most important.
Not just know the Four Noble Truths, like Eightfold Path.
If you don't apply in life, it doesn't serve much purpose. Then also, luckily, that day after she got well, she invited me and my wife for lunch. That lunch was very good. We discussed a lot of things. That's why I reminded her about the Avijja Sutta, that lunch, I remember. Then go back, I think she go and listen to that video. That Avijja Sutta is very, very important. It listed out all the 10 steps you need to break Avijja. Avijja Sutta is the sutta on ignorance. How to break the ignorance. You have to follow the 10 steps. And as Kayamita, the first 3 steps you already have. First one is what? Have Dhamma friend. All you have. Then listening to the true Dhamma. All you have listened to a lot. Then develop the faith in the triple gem. Then as you listen, you develop first and second turning wisdom. So you only need to fulfill the 4th step is go and reflect, contemplate the second turning wisdom. Yeah, after you listen, you will have some understanding, which is the first turning understanding. Then you reflect, contemplate, stabilize that wisdom, then assimilate it, so that the understanding stabilizes. And that is actually pariyati. Pariyati means learning of the teaching. After you have learned the teaching, then you put it into practice. When you put it into practice, means bhavana maya panya, third turning. So it will prepare the base for you to receive truth. So this initial wisdom, which is first and second turning wisdom, born of listening, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, will prepare the base for you to receive further truth. That's why this yoniso manasikara, or initial wisdom, is very important, the 4th step. When you have the 4th step, you keep on straightening your views. As you straighten your views, that's why your sati sambhajana can come about. Otherwise, you cannot. Otherwise, your mind always have the mental hindrance to react. That's why you're hardly peaceful. But when you are able to have the initial wisdom, every moment of sense experience, you don't react like before already, because you have straightened your view. You have started to stabilize your mind, and you become more and more peaceful, more and more mindful, more and more aware. So there are more and more moments of mindfulness, space between thought. Most of the time you are just aware, calm, peaceful, silent. Your mind seldom stir, seldom chatter. That's how the daily mindfulness come about, sati sambhajana. Once that one, which is step 5, the moment you hit that, you are home. Why? Because after that, step 6 and 7 is automatic. You can have sense restraint. Without the daily mindfulness, you cannot have sense restraint. You can't even see your delusion, your evil roots. Then how to apply the 4 right effort? How to abandon? How to prevent it from arising? Then how to cultivate the wholesome action, speech, and thought? Perfect upon them, refine upon them. You can't. Then when you cannot have the sense restraint, you cannot keep your precept. That's it. That's why after that only, the three way of right conduct become automatic. By then, you are at least a sotapan. And most likely, at least a sakadagami too, when the three way of right conduct is established. And then only you cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha said, if you cultivate it, you will at least realize anangami. Yeah. So the whole teaching is very, very beautiful, very clear, and it's related. Then when you are on the right track, when you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness with the daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom established and the sense restraint together with the three way of right conduct, the four foundation of mindfulness become very easy. You just like skim, breeze through it very fast. And the seventh factor of enlightenment keep on arising. That is the ninth step. Number nine step. When the seventh factor of enlightenment keep on arising, you know you are on the right path. You are not lost anymore. Otherwise, the factor of enlightenment wouldn't arise. Then, enlightenment in the here and now. Liberation. Realizing of Nibbana. Immediately will be realized. So the tenth step is the realization of enlightenment. So all these 10 steps is not difficult. What you need to work on is the 4th and the 5th. And some kayamita already gone beyond that. Yeah. The 4th and 5th. Yeah. So sense restraint is like very easy to them. When you realize you cannot break your precept anymore, means you already clear. Then after that, the three way of right conduct is like very natural to you. Yeah. You cannot be like before anymore. Heedless. Capable of all those things. No more. Then you realize the fetters, one by one, you will start to clear them. Yeah. Then by the time you finish off the first 5 fetters, you are really very beautiful. Yeah. Very beautiful. Yeah. But the moment you go through the 4 foundation of mindfulness, means you really insight to your daily mindfulness, means the 3rd turning wisdom. Yeah. That one is awakening. Yeah. And when you are able to do that, you will start to realize the enlightenment. Yeah. One by one. Yeah. Then you will pass through all the various types of path and friction. Path and friction. Sometimes you cultivate in the past before, you just breeze through very fast. Yeah. You don't have to repeat all those. Then you can reach back to the level you are in the past pretty fast after you connect. Mm. Okay, we better end. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Yeah. Then transform merit. Then after that, evoke blessing for the nation, and you can make your aspiration. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana etawata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang devo wasat kalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay. Pay respect to Triple Gem. Huh? Then we end. Thank you.
Red box at the back. At the back, at the back.